His Chicagoan stories we're following for you on Robin Hood Radio. The Falls Village Board of Selectmen were disturbed by some racist graffiti that was found near the intersection of Belden Street and Sand Road. They issued a statement decrying that behavior. First Selectman Henry Todd reported to the Board of Finance last week about the incident, saying as soon as it was discovered, officials worked to remove it. Quote, it's intolerable to see that kind of thing in town, end quote. Selectman Greg Marlowe first saw it and reported it to Todd. The two, accompanied by resident Tim Paviol, who works at the First Light Power Plant, and Bill Beebe, immediately got rid of that slander. The number of coronavirus cases has risen slightly in two counties in New York since the week since 4th of July, with Greene County reporting 8 active cases as of Monday and Columbia County reporting 12 active cases as of Monday. But it does not appear that the 4th of July holiday weekend led to a large spike in new cases, according to Columbia County Director of Public Health Jack Mabb. After dropping as low as 1 active case on June 25th, Greene County's tally crept up at the beginning of July, jumping from 6 until 9. Well, we're used to this here, but how about in Mount Washington? Bash Bish Falls. Around 1,000 people flocked to Bash Bish Falls State Park on Sunday, causing alarm and forcing multiple police agencies to close the park for the day. A photo released to Facebook on Sunday showed crowds in the pool beneath the falls, sending ripples of alarm for lack of social distancing. Also, it's illegal to swim near the falls. It was Sunday that the crowds arrived, and while police tried to limit attendance, they had to call local police departments and the Columbia County Sheriff's Office to help closing the park. The park is connected to Taconic State Park in New York State, giving it multiple points of entry for crowds beaten by months of isolation. It features the highest single-drop waterfall in Massachusetts, amid gorges and a ravine forest with trails. It's also home to some of the remaining rattlesnakes, though, in the Northeast. The Columbia County Department of Health's mobile testing clinic schedule has a walk-up clinic schedule for from 9 to 11. The sidewalk in front of John L. Edwards in Hudson and also drive-through clinics will have the capacity to accommodate 100 tests. If you have any of the symptoms, fever, cough, trouble breathing, loss of taste or smell, and are any symptoms consistent with the CDC guidelines, they recommend anybody feeling those symptoms be tested for COVID-19. Region 1 Board of Education Policy Subcommittee meeting coming up 9 to 11. That is a Zoom meeting. Meanwhile, the Canaan Falls Village Board of Education has a meeting at 6 p.m. The Salisbury Board of Finance has their quarterly meeting. It's a remote Zoom meeting, and that is at 7 p.m. In Kent, the Board of Finance has their regular monthly meeting. That is a Zoom meeting at 7 p.m. The Kent Center School Board of Education has a meeting scheduled for Wednesday at 5 p.m. That is a Zoom meeting. 7:30, the Planning Board will be meeting for the Town of Northeast Library Annex. That will be at 7:30 p.m. The Sharon Concerts are back. They started last week. They're free for all to enjoy. They're held at the Lions Club Pavilion in Sharon Valley. Social distancing is required, as well as masks if you're going to get together. Coming up this week, July 22nd, Wanda Houston Band. August 5th, The Regulators. You're invited out to come enjoy. Bring a picnic. All shows run from 6 till 8 p.m. Social distancing will be strictly enforced. Region 1 Reopening Committee Athletics and Extracurricular Activities Task Group meeting has a meeting on Thursday, 10:30. That is a Google meeting. Sharon Board of Finance has a special meeting coming up on Thursday at 6 p.m. Coming up on Friday, 5 p.m. in Cornwall, there's a COVID discussion with Elizabeth Ridgway. That is at the library, and that is a Zoom meeting. All the Zoom meeting information. Now, pickups for the Kent Community Farmers Market will take place Saturdays from 10 till 2 at Kent Barns on North Main Street. Online pre-orders can be made for a wide variety of fruits, vegetables, beef, and dairy products. Cheese, eggs, yogurts, honey, and seasonal flowers are among those items. More information at rockcobblefarm.com. The Kent Chamber of Commerce is hosting a photo contest. Residents and visitors, professionals and amateur photographers of all ages alike are invited to submit photographs of Kent that capture the essence of the town and highlight the best of what Kent has to offer. Submissions will be accepted through Saturday, July 25th. The 5 categories are scenery, downtown, fun in Kent, hidden gems, and a child's eye view. There's no limit to the number of entries per person. For more information, call 860- 0061. There is a Black Lives Matter protest at the White Hart. It will be held on the green in front of the White Hart on Saturday from 11 till 12 to show support for Connecticut police reform. No speeches, just sign holding contact your representative to show additional support for the 2020 police reform bill. Once again, this is Saturday, July 25th from 11 till noon on the green in front of the White Hart. Checking other stories in and around our tri-state region, Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont announced yesterday the state will be tightening up on its mandatory travel quarantine. It still applies to those traveling from 22 states. Anybody traveling from those states, whether they're driving or flying, must complete an online travel health form. Those who fail to comply with quarantining or completing the health form are subject to a $1,000 fine. The governor revealed that hospitalizations have decreased by 12 since Friday, bringing the total to 54 COVID-19 cases. It rose by 162 since Friday to 48,055, and there were 10 more deaths since last week, bringing the total to 4,406. Lamont said 27,323 tests were performed since Friday, bringing the total to 655,309 in the state. A testing flaw discovered at the Connecticut State Public Health Laboratory in Rocky Hill has led to 90 false positive tests for coronavirus diseases that were processed there. The Department of Public Health reported Monday. Public health officials said immediate steps were taken to notify the patients who received the test results falsely showing that they were infected. The announcement said the public health lab uncovered one flaw in one testing of the systems it uses for the coronavirus, which led to 90 out of 144 people tested from June 15th to July 17th to receive a false positive test result. The manufacturer and the Federal Food and Drug Administration have been notified of the flaw. Many of the people with the false positive test results are nursing home residents. Any nursing home resident with a false positive COVID-19 test result will be retested as soon as possible. State epidemiologists are reaching out to nursing homes again to review all the clinical issues and find any impacted statements. In Connecticut, nearly $105 million in emergency food benefits have been provided to families of more than 285,000 school children in school districts that have free breakfast or lunch programs. Parents of any school-aged children in those towns should receive a benefit card for their use. The cards arrive regardless of whether a parent receives SNAP benefits or has their children participate in the free lunch program. The one-time federal benefit is part of the National School Lunch Program School Breakfast Program in accordance with guidelines from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Meanwhile, after a slight uptick in activity at Bradley International Airport, Kevin Dillon, executive director of the Connecticut Airport Authority, said he fears a tri-state travel advisory will drop business down to where it was in March or April. The governor has ordered travelers entering the state with high COVID-19 transmission rates to self-quarantine for 14 days upon their arrival. Taking a look at other stories we're following for you today in New York State, while school districts are focused on keeping coronavirus out of schools this fall, an uncomfortable question now remains: if the virus does find its way inside, is a district legally responsible for it ensues? What happens, and is it going to be inevitable when the first case of COVID-19 gets diagnosed in whatever district that may be? Not according from Thomas Korba, president of the Port Chester Board of Education. He went on to say, I think there's going to be a litmus test right here in the first one. God forbid, if it's a student that comes down positive, is it going to be a staff member? What's that person's family going to do? And of course, who's going to take responsibility? Former Assembly Speaker Sheldon Silver, one of the most powerful and feared New York politicians in his era, received a 6.5-year prison sentence and a $1 million fine for his role yesterday in a bribery scheme that saw him enrich himself in exchange for official actions. U.S. District Judge Valerie Caproni of Manhattan handed down the sentence, marking an apparent end to the 5-year legal saga that began when Silver, 76, was first arrested and accused of pocketing more than $4 million in illicit payments. Charter Systems in New York will raise their rates in response to rising programming costs. The company said that on Monday. The company plans to increase its broadcast TV surcharge from $13.50 to $16.45 per month for cable customers. The surcharge is a regulatory fee levied by cable operators to recoup money paid to local broadcasting companies. Customers using Spectrum's TV-only packages see their bills increased by $1.50 a month. Customers paying a promotional price for a package will not have the impact of their bill until after the promotional period is over. The rates will increase in the billing cycle starting on August 5th. Bill Williams from the Columbia Media Group reports that a Saugerties Operation Coco, an 18-month multi-agency investigation into an alleged cocaine trafficking organization in Saugerties that covered Greene and Ulster counties, resulted in the arrest of seven people, according to the Ulster Regional Gang Force Enforcement's narcotics team. Investigators conducted thousands of hours of physical and electronic surveillance using federal Title III wire interceptions on multiple phone lines. Traffic stops were used to seize cocaine and marijuana and executed multiple search warrants in both Ulster and Greene counties, resulting in the seizure of approximately 3 kilograms of cocaine, over 140 pounds of marijuana, and over $68,000 in cash, multiple vehicles, and real property assets, according to the task force. Out of Sheffield, the people of Sheffield have a history of fighting for liberty, and this year it's proving no different. A group of residents hopes to add another link to that chain, wanting to give rights to the Housatonic River. The effort to give Housatonic rights suffered a setback last month during their annual town meeting, when Sheffield residents rejected the electronic vote, a proposed bylaw recognizing the river's right to naturally exist. Proponents, though, say they aren't giving up on the movement. When a handful of Sheffield residents met to discuss the idea, they have now formed Rights of Nature Berkshires, an informal branch of a worldwide alliance dedicating to recognizing the rights of natural landmarks and ecosystems. Our business brief is underwritten by Morgans at the Interlake and interlakenin.com and by Salisbury Bank, salisburybank.com. The Dow Jones Industrial Average finished off the day yesterday at 26,680.87, the NASDAQ at 10,767.09, and the S&P 500 at 3251.84. We'll take a look at the tri-state forecast. That'll come your way in just a few moments.